many think that when my kingdom comes, that it will bring a great reign of peace in the earth. But even my son said, I did not come to bring peace, but I came to set family against family, children against parents, and parents against children. For when my kingdom comes, there are those who choose to walk in that kingdom, choose to walk in my righteousness, and there are those who reject it and will walk away. So there is a conflict. When my kingdom comes, it will be peace for those who enter my kingdom, declares God. But for those that are outside, they will resist and they will struggle against my will being done in the earth. So yes, there is peace, but it's a time of conflict. For the world does not want my kingdom. That's why it's called the world. They operate under a different system than my kingdom operates in. But I am establishing my kingdom, says the Lord, in the earth. And those who are of my kingdom, they will become more and more separate from the kingdom of this world, for they will look at those things and they will reject them. As they grow and increase in my kingdom, they will reject that worldly system of doing things. And those who are in the world will continue to walk in darkness, and they will continue to walk by sight, and they will continue to live by the works of the flesh. But they have no part of me, says God, for that is not my kingdom. For my kingdom cannot be established by kings or by governors or by force or by those who would just choose to do according to their own choosing. But when my kingdom comes, says God, my word is law. My word is life. And I have called my people to live by faith. Why must you live by faith? Because this world operates in a different level. They operate by sight. They operate by the things that they see going on around them. Oh, but my people walk by faith in me, says God. For my people, they see a different sight. For they see my goodness, and they see my glory, and they see my kingdom come, and they rejoice at that, irregardless of what is going on around them. So enter into my kingdom and receive peace. Reject the things of the world and come out against those things, says God, to reject them in your life, that you would come to live by a higher standard of living than what this world could ever attain. For I have come to set you apart, and I've called you into my kingdom, saith God. So walk in it and bear the fruits of repentance. Hallelujah. For the kingdom of this world is passing away, and you're seeing the death throes, even as dogs will fight one another over the scraps. So you're watching the world fight one another for the scraps, and they think this is gold, but it's just scraps, saith God. For my kingdom is of greater value than silver or gold. It's of greater things than anything that this world has to offer. For my kingdom will transform this earth, says God. As my people walk at a higher level, the blessings flow from them into their communities, into their countries, into their land. And my kingdom will begin to permeate to silence the voices of this world for a period. And then I'll release it again. For there will come that time when the restrainer is removed. And then all those things that have been shut up, all those things that have been made to sit and to withdraw, will be free to fight over the scraps once again. For they fight over worldly things, and they fight over things that are temporary, and they fight over things that will not endure forever. But you, my children, oh, you've seen my kingdom that knows no end, that has no beginning and no end, because it is in me, saith God. and I will rule over all things by my Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Were you ready for the word this morning? Hallelujah. Well, Father, we ask you to give me wisdom and guidance and direction, Father, in all that's shared this morning. And Father, we praise you for your faithfulness to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Share with me 2 Corinthians 2:14, our favorite Bible verse. If you don't know it by now, where have you been? We've been repeating this for 3 years. Hallelujah. We have seen miracles out of this thing. We have seen manifestations of God out of this scripture. We have seen absolute out and out miracles. People have been on, literally, have had death reports and been told that they are dying, and they hung to this scripture and got supernaturally, I mean beyond the doctor's capability, supernaturally delivered out of death and sickness. It's been a miraculous verse for this body. So say it with me. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. You know, on Christmas Sunday last year, 2016, Jesus told us, let this year, talking about 2017, let this year be a year of manifestation of my glory. And I want to kick off from that. We've been talking about it all year, off and on, but I want to kind of, I don't know if zero in is the right word for it, but I want to begin to leap off from that. Because when God said that, and as I've meditated on it, we are being called to participate with God. The Bible says we are co-laborers together with him for the kingdom of God, for the preaching of the gospel. So to the plea of God, the word of God to us was you, unspoken, but you, let this be a year of manifestation of my glory. So there's a call for us to participate in this, which means that this is a year for faith. Now we've been preaching on the kingdom of God, but we're preaching on that, and we're changing topics a little bit. But we've been talking about the kingdom of God because you've got to have faith in the kingdom of God. That's what we're to believe for. If you say, well, what are we to believe for? Well, most people say, well, I'm just believing for Jesus to come back. Well, he's going to come back whether you believe for it or not. You know, that's already set. Not a time period, but that's already, he is coming back. Well, I'm believing God for a new heaven, a new earth. It's going to happen. Whether you want it or not, it's going to happen. So what are we believing for? I'm believing when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Well, if you're a believer, you're going to go to heaven when you die. So why do you have to believe that you're going to heaven when it's already promised? So what are we to believe? We're to believe that the kingdom of God is present. Say, okay, and? Well, that's why we've been preaching on the kingdom of God, because we don't even know what it is. Most people don't preach about it. Most people don't have a working knowledge of the kingdom. And so we introduced it in our last 18 messages on the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 1 through chapter 7. And I tell you, go back and listen to those, because there's good stuff in it that you need to get ground on the inside of you. But Jesus preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And by that, he's saying the domain of Satan is ending. I like that. That the kingdom of God is at hand. See, John said about Jesus, he must increase and I must decrease. Well, John decreases because Jesus is increasing. So when Jesus says the kingdom of God is at hand or is present, he's saying the opposite of that is Jesus is saying that means the kingdom of Satan is decreasing. It's going to lose ground. Consistently, on a regular basis, as the kingdom of God increases, as new believers are added to the body of Christ, the kingdom of Satan is ending and coming to an end. And he knows that, and he doesn't like it. And we began to preach, and this is the key topic that I want to get on. Jesus brought a revolution of faith. By Jesus introducing the kingdom of God, he brought a revolution of faith, a different way of thinking, a different way of living, a different way of acting, a different kingdom into the world than what has ever been known before. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him," God, "for he who comes to God must believe that he is," or that he exists, "and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And we are to believe that the kingdom of God is present. See, now, with this verse, Hebrews 11:6, you've got to have faith. You cannot please God apart from faith. So faith pleases God. Do you get that? Faith pleases God. I want to say that again, because there's a lot wound up in this. Faith pleases God. The Bible says, to such an extent, whatever is not of faith is sin. Well, Lord, I don't want to sin. Walk in faith. Live in faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Not on Sunday mornings, not Sunday evenings, not Wednesday evenings. The just shall live by faith 24/7. Well, how do I do that? Well, by trusting God and by believing in his word. See, Jesus is bringing a revolution of faith, because until Jesus came, they only had the law. And before the law came, before Moses, men didn't even know the law. Therefore, whoever had the greatest army dominated everything around them. You ruled by conquest, by imposing your will on everyone else. And that is how the world has existed for millennia. When Jesus came, he said, you know that old system of imposing your will on other men? It's done. It's finished. It's not effective anymore. Now see, the problem, we've said this before, the problem with religion is tried by natural methods to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. And so they tried to use the world's methods, and they tried to impose. You will be baptized, you will believe, you will do this. And all we did was we put man's laws over the kingdom of God to where you couldn't even see the kingdom of God. And a lot of people still are resistant to the kingdom of God, although they're seeking for it, but they don't know it. But they're resistant to the kingdom of God because all they have ever heard is, you must do what I tell you to do. And they go, I'm not doing that. Because we've separated the kingdom of God from faith. We've made it a list of rules and regulations instead of a walk with God. And so when you start talking about a walk with God, you have just entered into a revolution of faith. Most churches preach, we got to love one another. And we do. The Bible, Jesus says, you know, they will know you are Christians by the love you have one for another. That's true. But all they teach are the morals of how you must live. But I want to tell you something. If you have entered into the kingdom of God, you live according to those morals even without knowing the morals. Because in the kingdom of God, you don't lie. You don't cheat. You don't steal. You don't misrepresent. You don't impose your will on everybody else around you. You know, one of the great misnomers in the church, I read this at a Messianic Jewish site here not too long ago. He said, you know, where the Bible talks about women be silent in church, this is a Jewish person saying, this is not a Jewish custom. So it's a Roman custom. It's a pagan custom. It's not the Bible. Paul talks about women ministers. You ever hear of Aquila and Priscilla? You know, Priscilla was the wife, and she was a better speaker than Aquila. I mean, she was the dominant one, or the prominent one, in the two of them. She was a woman. In Bible days, can you believe that? In Bible days, they let a woman preach. Right? I mean, just a few years after Jesus ascended, they let women preach in the church. They called it, even in the Old Testament, they had Anna, the prophetess, who lived at the temple. So this whole thing about women being subject unto men, and they're trying to blame that on the church. It's a pagan concept. Paul, and it always gets me, the feminist Christians never bring up this point. Paul said in Christ there's no male nor female. So it doesn't matter. There's no free man, no slave. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about your station in life. It doesn't matter what sex you are. God receives you all and God anoints all. Hallelujah. That is a revolution of faith. Because there's a lot of people today, they still say, well, man is the head of the household, and so the wife has to do everything the man says. Man is the head of the household. He's the spiritual head. That means he is to, I'm going to get the Bible correct on this, to love his wife even as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. Well, I just thought that was about me getting my wife to submit to me. Oh, no, 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 no. It's about you loving your wife. Hallelujah. And dying for her. Wouldn't that change a lot of marriages? See, you're just in a revolution of faith. It's like, wow, I didn't know that was so different. It is. It's different from the world. Hallelujah. Well, let's go to Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance. See, faith is a certificate of ownership. It is the substance or reality of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Now, I want you to try to understand this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this right today, but faith is seeing what isn't visible in the physical realm. It's not seeing things that do not exist. They do exist. They just exist in a spiritual form or in a spiritual realm. See, Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You can't even begin to fathom. Remember the song we sang? Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor mind can grasp the things or know the things of God. Well, that's talking about a carnal man. If you're carnal, you can't see the things of God. If you're carnal, you can't hear the things of God. Even if God speaks to you, you go, what? You know, a carnal person cannot know the mind of God. So the prayer is, open up heaven, open it wide. You know, why? Because we need a revelation from heaven. Once you get the revelation from God, whoo, now you can see things. Now you can hear things. Now you can understand things. Why? Because you're getting a download from heaven. And what you're seeing is not in this world, but it's seeing what the possibilities of this world could be with God. Oh, I don't know if you got that. Faith is seeing the possibilities that God has for this earth and believing that against what you see in the natural. It's seeing your house restored. It's seeing people set free. It's seeing the drug epidemic disappearing. It's seeing husbands united to their wives and wives to their husbands. It's seeing children reunited with their parents. It's seeing what God wants done in the earth. And it's seen it, and it, faith is saying, I can see it, and I'm going to work toward that. I'm going to draw that out of that supernatural realm and manifest it in the earth as far as my being. See, Joshua said it like this, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. You guys can do whatever you want. God just delivered the nation of Israel. He says, you can do whatever you want. I've brought you in the promised land. Moses gave you the laws. I've given you the victory. You're now possessing what you only had promised before. And as for me and my house, we're going to continue to serve God. But what you do is going to be up to you. See, Joshua didn't go around saying, well, if you don't believe exactly like I do, I'm going to kill you. No, and you don't find that in the Jewish Old Testament either. But that's how the world thinks. And they accuse us of that because that's how they think. Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Boy, doesn't that take a revolution of faith? I mean, pray for the people that curse you and despitefully use you and love those that condemn you. God, can I get vengeance first? Well, pray for them afterwards. You know, but Lord, I want fire. Remember the disciples, even with Jesus. You know, when one of the towns, one of the cities did not accept Jesus, they were excited. James and John were thrown. They call them the sons of thunder for a reason. John wound up writing about love. But boy, when they rejected Jesus, they said, Jesus, can we call down fire like Elijah did? I want to see them burn, baby, burn. I want to see the fire light them up from the inside out. And Jesus just shook his head and said, oh, they have no idea what spirit they're of. Now, you can take that two ways. They don't know they're of the Spirit of God, or they wouldn't talk like this, or the spirit they're talking of right now is the demonic spirit. Ooh. See, they don't know what spirit they're of. And there's times as believers we say things we don't know what spirit we're of. Because we're saying things that Jesus has just got to look down on us and shake his head. They don't know what spirit they're of, because this isn't my spirit. Amen. It's not how I did it. Hallelujah. Oh, it's good preaching already. We're just getting into this. See, faith is not pretending. It's not pretending something exists and hoping that if I pretend long enough, it'll become actuality. It'll become evident. No, faith is not pretending. Now, we're not preaching about this, but a typical example is I've been around people, well, I'm believing God for my healing. Well, praise be to God. Yes, I'm just believing I'm not sick. But you're sick. I'm just believing, no, I don't believe I'm sick. But you're sick. See, believing in healing is not believing you're not sick. What, if you have what you are believing for, Paul asks, why do you need to believe for it? So if you're believing for healing, if you're not sick, you don't need healing. So why are you believing for it? I'm messing with you a little bit, but there's a reality in this. See, the thing is, you are sick, but we believe the kingdom of God is greater than our sickness. We believe that while our body is sick, in our spirit man, the healing virtue of God abides. And therefore, we don't go around saying, because I've been around people like this, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick. It's like, you're an idiot. Well, no, I don't say that. But I say, that's not believing. I mean, you're calling, listen, so much of our faith, we're calling things that are as though they're not. And that's not Bible. The Bible says we call the things that are not as though they are. So when I'm sick, it's kind of like repenting. If I'm not aware of sin, why do I need to repent? So the fact that I repent means, oops, I did something I shouldn't have done. So I'm turning around and going a different direction. So when we're believing for healing, it's acknowledging on the one hand, my body isn't doing too good right now. I've got pain in my joints. I've got this going on. I got that going on. But I believe God that by his stripes I was healed. And I believe his healing is more powerful than any sickness or disease that can come in my body. So what I'm calling things that I do not see, my health. I see it in the spirit. I see it by revelation of God. I see that health. I see that healing at work in me, but I don't see it yet in my body. So I'm calling things that are not as though they are. So I'm not lying. I'm just walking by a different standard. Parents do this with their kids all the time. They don't even know it. When you get the bad report, your kid's just been arrested. Johnny is a good boy. They're confessing things that are not as though they are. Johnny's a good boy. Johnny does not get arrested. Johnny does not do this. Johnny, what are you doing? You're calling it by faith because you see your son, you see your child the way that you want to see him, the way he could be with God. And so you're calling the things that may not be as though they are. Because I'm just believing Johnny's a good boy. I don't care if he spent 30 years in jail. I believe God's going to turn him around. I believe God's going to get a hold of his life, and he's going to be good, and he's going to be sound, and people are going to be glad to get to know him. And people are going to invite him into their homes and be merciful to him and bless him because he's a good boy and he deserves it. I mean, isn't that a whole way? Rather than, and this is what you hear so many people, my child is the stupidest one on earth, calling things that are not as though they are. Oh, my goodness, have mercy on us, God. And see, when you call things that are as though they are, they are. That's just it. It's that way. What? You called it. Jesus said, you shall have what you say. Well, I don't believe that. Well, it's working for you. What do you mean? You have what you say, but I don't believe that works for me. You have what you say. It doesn't work for you. But you have what you say. But I'm sick. How can I be healed? You have what you say. You keep saying, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. And guess what? You're sick. All the time. You're dealing with this. Why? You keep saying it. You have what you say. See, if you would change your reference point from the natural to the spiritual, oh, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Sometimes I get a hitch in my giddy app. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I overcome it. I've got 5 bones out of joint in my left foot. My foot's supposed to be at a 90-degree angle because there's no support for the foot. It should have been that way within 6 months after I injured my foot back in 1988. It's still straight. The doctor can't understand why. I do, because when I was riding that donkey back to Kano, I'm praising God and I'm worshiping him and my foot is hanging over. Have you ever had a foot that throbs and hanging it down? They always tell you, put it up. It's hanging down on the donkey. I'm praising God. I'm singing spiritual songs. I'm praying in tongues. I'm thanking God for my healing all the way. They thought I was nuts. Preval knew what I was doing. Some of my team knew what I was doing. But the general Haitian, this guy just hurt his foot. I couldn't walk on it. I didn't walk on it for 2 weeks. First day I put weight on it is flying back home from Haiti. And it's, you know, there's times when that foot just kind of wants to act up a little bit. I just, in Jesus' name, in Jesus, I thank you, God. See, the Bible verse that God gave me to lean on was, by his stripes I am healed. Jesus makes the lame to walk. And when God gave me that verse, it's like, I'm lame. Officially, I'm lame. But he makes the lame to walk. So if he makes the lame to walk and I'm lame, I walk. So I walk. Now, when the foot gets a hitch in it now and then, you'll see me kind of just push on it a little bit and walk a little bit. And then at the most anymore, it's 3 steps. It's all back in God's place. The bones are still out of joint. But he makes the lame to walk. Hallelujah. Don't take that away from me. Well, I just believe that your foot's going to manifest. No, I don't want my foot to manifest what's in the natural. Well, you know, one of these days, one of these days, the bones are going back in joint. See, I can believe for whatever I want. Well, you can't just do that. Well, you take that up with Jesus. Take it up with him. So where are we? First, or Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Again, faith is not pretending. Faith does not deny the physical world, but faith acknowledges there is a spiritual world as well as a physical world. The prime example of this, Andrew Womack gave me this. I had never thought about it this way, but he said, you are not just a body and a soul, you are spirit. We are a triune being created in the image of God. We are spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. That's how the Bible puts it. You are spirit, soul, and body. We tend to think, this is the natural thinking, we are body, soul, and spirit. We put the body first because the body is the most prominent part of us. The Bible puts the most prominent part first. Your spirit, soul, and body. When you got born again, your spirit man was born again. He was dead. He was separated from God, but now it's born again. You got born again. You are a spirit. You have a soul to operate in this earth, and you live in a body. Now, so when you begin to understand this, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Well, what got new created? Not the body. I mean, some of us wish. But your body, you know, your new body's future. Let me ask, how many of you believe you're going to get a new body? On what basis? On what basis do you believe you're going to get a new body? Well, the Bible. Yeah, right. Scripture. We're getting a new body. Now, we are spirit, soul. Your soul did not get born again. I wish it had. I wish your soul would have got born again. I wish you'd think differently than what you do. I wish I thought differently than what I do sometimes. But my soul did not get born again, but my spirit man did. Now I've got connection with God. Now when I do what I used to do, and I used to not feel any pain about doing it at all, now it bothers me. Why? I got a conscience. Consciences can be very problem areas. Because I just don't like being reminded of some of that stuff. But my conscience always, my spirit is always reminding me, Gordon, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. Shut up. Well, that's my spirit man. That's my spirit man working on me. That's my spirit man talking to me. And he talked to me even while I was dead, but I didn't pay any attention to him. Now it really bothers me. It bothers me enough sometimes I actually do change my behavior. Some of you will pick that up a little bit later. But see, my spirit got born again. My spirit man got born again. Now, if I believe that, because if you're born again, you have to believe that your spirit was reborn, was made new, and it's because of your spirit man that you're going to go to heaven. Now, if you believe that, you are already believing in the supernatural spiritual realm for things that you can't see. Because there is no physical evidence that when you die, you're going to heaven. Yeah, but Gordon, we found these graves, and even ancient man buried, had formal burials, and even every culture, the furthest back we go of any culture that archaeologists have dug up, and they say, this is a man, they have found figurines for an afterlife buried with them. Food for an afterlife. Man, since creation, has believed in an afterlife. Now we are so intelligent, we are so aware of things, there's no evidence of an afterlife. Well, not to you. You wouldn't accept anything. These people that die and go to heaven and come back, I just don't believe that. See, you're already rejecting it. It's like any evidence that counteracts what you want to believe, you reject.
Yeah, that's right.
And the world's real good at it. You know, these people, I'll give $1 million to anybody that can prove me a miracle. Well, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I can go on if I would list everybody in this congregation that has had an out-and-out miracle. Man, they'll give us $8 million right now. $20 million. Just give us the money. And you go to them, you can bring x-rays, you can bring, I just don't believe it. Isn't that an easy out? You ask for proof, you are given definitive proof, and you reject it. That's how the world acts. The sad thing is a lot of Christians act that way too. So we reject the spiritual because we're trying to live in the natural, the carnal life, the five physical senses, and so we're not believing the things of God. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, I believe when I die I'm going to heaven, not because of anything in the natural, but because I believe in God. I believe in the resurrection. Even Job said that. I know my Redeemer lives. I don't see him. I don't see him at work in all of my trials. I don't see him that my family got killed. I don't see him that my cattle got stolen or my sheep got taken away from me. I don't see God in any of this, but I know my Redeemer lives. Against all facts, against all, quote, reality, Job still believed in God. The Bible says about Abraham in Romans, he said Abraham against hope believed in hope What's he doing? He's walking in faith. Man, I don't see how God can turn this around, but I'm believing God. See, he didn't have the word like we have. He was the start of it. He was the first one that God made covenant with, and we have inherited his covenant. Now, here's, I didn't finish 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And verse 18, which I didn't give to Stephen, says, now all things are of God. So if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Now, put that with 1 John 4:17. It says at the end of it, as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. That's spiritual. Now, let me ask you a question. We're talking about a revolution of faith. How's Jesus? As he is now, right now, so are we, but we're in this world. Jesus is in the spiritual world. We're in this world. So as he is, so are we now. So how is Jesus? Well, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Yeah, the Bible says you're seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. Well, Jesus is healed. Well, we're healed. See, as Jesus is. Well, brother, I just wouldn't go that far. I know you wouldn't go that far. That's why it's a revolution of faith. I'm trying to get you to start thinking differently, to get your eyes off of everything going on around you and get your sight set on Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus. Because I tell you, there's a greater reality in what we're walking in. Amen. See, the spiritual world is a creative force of this physical world. We could say that the spiritual trumps this natural world. It's a seal over, a level over this natural world, because everything we see came from the spirit world. God spoke it into existence, from spirit to natural. And suddenly, in all of our wisdom and intelligence, we are maybe one of the first people that in the last 500-600 years, we believe that the physical world is all that there is. And the typical person in the United States and in Europe denies the spiritual world. Other countries don't. That's why you see more miracles in other countries than you do in the United States, because they still believe in the supernatural. We've talked ourselves out of it because we think this natural is all that there is. But yet, scientists several years ago said they think they found the God particle. Yeah, the God particle. But there's no God. How can you find a God particle if there's no God? I was reading about this the other day. The God particle is something that is not visible even to science. They can detect it's there, but it's like a vibration. There's something within every atom that is a God particle that just kind of vibrates. Did you know when God spoke, his word sent out vibrations? The God particle is Jesus, because there was nothing created except by him. See, that God particle, where does that God particle live? As to a believer, in our heart. He lives in us. Oh, that's a revolution of faith. Do you know why the Big Bang Theory was kept quiet for about 50 years before it finally came out? Because the guy who came up with the Big Bang Theory says it points to a God. Because it means there has to be a beginning to everything that we see. And he knew this. He wrote this. He knew it will point people to God. And I don't want that, so I'm not publishing my finding. This is the extent that this world, this science, goes to deny God. Even when they prove that there is a God, they deny the God that they just proved. Oh, no wonder that we had to get born again. No wonder we had to change our reference point to God instead of the things of this world. Amen? See, faith is the substance, the reality of things hoped for. Faith is the bridge between the spiritual and the physical world. Go to Ephesians 1. We're not going to get too far into this today. We're just introducing a lot of things. I've got so much going through me on this, and it's just hard to get it all written out. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, and he prays, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He's praying that you can see. Not the physical, not the natural, that you can see the things of God. Because if you can't see the things of God, you can never receive them. We receive what we see, and what you see is determined by whether you look at only the natural or you look at the spiritual. If the natural world is greater to you than the spiritual world, you will only believe what your physical eyes can see. But if you believe in God and you trust in God, greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. So your whole perspective begins to change. How many of you know God can do all things? The Bible says we can do all things through Christ. Wow. Well, brother, we just don't preach it. I know you don't preach it. That's why you don't see things. That's why you don't see miracles. That's why you don't see healings. That's why you don't see lives really transformed. Most churches think if we get you knowing that you're going to go to heaven when you die, our job is done. No. When a woman gives birth to a baby, do they say, "Well, my work's over," and just leave? You'd be arrested for child abuse. That baby depends on you for 18 to 35 years. I mean, when I graduated college, this is in 1972, they said the average time of dependency for a child was up to 30 years. Dependency on their parents. Now we're finding kids 35 years old still living with mom and dad. They want their insurance to cover them after they're adult. We want mommy and daddy to buy us the car. We want mommy and daddy to pay our bills. We want mommy and daddy. Well, what are you doing? Man, I got to get that newest video game. Son, how old are you? Well, my 40th birthday is coming up. Don't you think it's time to get out of the house and get a job? Oh, but mom, you're doing a great job. I don't want to reject you, Mom. I know how rejection hurts all of us. So, Mom, I can't reject you. I want to stay with you till you die. Then I'll be old enough to go into a nursing home, and they'll take care of me. I mean, we got to see differently. We've got to see the things of God. They are real. They are tangible. It's a reality. I can stand on my toes on my left foot. I'm not supposed to be able to do that. It doesn't hurt. I can run. I can't do that, the doctors say. Oh, yes, I can, says Jesus. Yes, I can do those things. See, you can do more than you think you can know, but you've got to get your eyes off the natural onto the spiritual. Amen. Well, let's go on. Ephesians 1:19. He's praying for the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we can see what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. See, Jesus has all principality, all power. He's above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name in this age. That's our time right now, in this age. Oh, and by the way, and in the one to come. In the new heaven and new earth, Jesus is still above everything. But he is now. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. Revolution of faith. Well, Gordon, most people don't think this way. I know. Gordon, people think you are crazy for thinking this way. I know. But he makes the lame to walk. I know. See, what was it that Michael Freeman said the other day? My dominion outweighs others' opinions. And see, when you take dominion, it doesn't matter what other people say. See, if someone would come up to me, Gordon, God really didn't heal your foot. Too late. It's done. It's over. Why should I believe you? I'm going to believe God. Because it's already working. Well, Gordon, you can feel those bones are still out of joint. Isn't God great? Even though my body is still messed up, I'm healed. I can walk. I can run. Well, Gordon, it just shouldn't be that way. But isn't it great what God can do? I mean, you got to keep your perspective on this stuff. You know, I try to show my foot to the doctors sometimes. They don't want to look at it. You know, they have you stripped down to the doctor's office. Well, is there anything wrong? Yeah, check out this foot, man. I can walk on it and the bones are out of joint. Yeah, whatever. No, look at it. Feel it. You can feel the bones. You can feel them out of place. You can feel them to this day. No, I'm not going to do that. What are you afraid of? It's like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying they're bad or anything. I'm just they don't want to go there. I'm here to doctor you, not to legalize your faith. You know, I don't want to get into that area of doctrine. Well, that's because doctors practice medicine. Hallelujah. Some of you get that later. See, spiritual truth exists. And whether or not it changes your physical reality depends on what you believe.
That's good.
It's true. You can believe it or not believe it, but it doesn't change God. It doesn't change what Jesus did on the cross. If you believe it, it's to your benefit. If you don't believe it, it doesn't change God. You have the choice. You can either receive it or you can reject and say, Man, that's too far for me. Well, we love you. God loves you. But why do you want to miss out on this stuff?
Yeah.
Why do you want to miss out on it? Why don't you want to go for the best? But people do it all the time. You hear people that are gifted and talented that waste their talent because of a momentary situation. And they never achieve what their potential is. I mean, don't even come close to their potential. And other people you see that just strive and they get knocked down again and again and they just keep getting back up and keep going for it and keep working and keep striving and they become the success. And we look at, well, why did they succeed with almost no gifting at all, and this other person with all the gifting, all the blessing, all the opportunity, they never made it because one tried and the other one didn't. One saw a different way of living. One saw a different way of thinking, and he said, I'm doing this. Ephesians 1:18 says that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance. See, God wants you to know his calling. That's spiritual. God wants you to receive this that you can walk in what God has called you to walk in. And I'll tell you, and I'm talking to myself, it's higher than what we've attained to this point. There is more to this kingdom stuff than what we know. There is more to being born again than what we have gathered yet. There is more to being a child of God, a son, daughter of the Most High God that we don't grasp yet. Oh, man, I've got so much more to say, and I'm trying to be smart, and it's about 3 minutes after 12. So we're going to shut down. But think about this. God wants you to open your eyes and see the possibilities, to see what he has prepared for us from the foundation of the world. And it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It delights God for you to walk in faith. But what if I don't receive what I'm believing for? What if I don't receive what I see and what I believe God's given to me? But you're pleasing God. You're pleasing Him because you're seeking after the kingdom of God. Don't give up seeking. Those who seek, what? Find. So as long as we're seeking, we're going to find it. Sometime, we're going to find it. Listen, we'll get into this next week. Abraham was promised a nation. He was promised, he had one kid. Wow. But he had enough faith in God, he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means father of nations, plural. So he's going around, what's your name, Abraham? Wow, you must have lots of kids and thousands of grandkids. Nope, this is my son Isaac. That's all I got. And you're what? I'm sure they walked away shaking his head. That's probably why he took them to Egypt, to get him out of away from the naysayers that were continually mocking him. So God sends his family to Egypt to get him out of there. Slaves in bondage for 400 years, and God says, okay, I'm bringing you back. When they came back, the Canaanites weren't laughing at them. So these are Abraham's kids. What God said has come to pass. And they're going to get us. Because, listen, Rahab the harlot said, we've heard about you. We've heard about what God did to Pharaoh. And she didn't say this part, but we know this land was promised to Abraham. They knew that. They knew God had given them the land. And she said, we're all scared and we're nervous. See, the Palestinians know God gave them the land. And they're trying to deny them the land. But they're not laughing at Israel. They're calling what is as though it weren't. It don't work. Because God has already called what is not as though it is. And it's working. You better stand up, man. This almost has no quit to it. So you better stand up. Well, Father God, we praise you. Lord, we thank you that Jesus has brought us a revolution of faith. And God, my prayer for this congregation is that we would accept the revolution. That we would dare to believe what the world says we cannot attain. That we would dare to look to you, Father, to lift our eyes to your hills, to the Mount of Zion, to the cross at Calvary, that we would walk by this sight, by this revelation of who we are in you, that we would receive the kingdom and we would walk in faith before you, Father, all the days of our lives. And Father, for this we give you praise and we give you honor that you call us sons and daughters of God. In Jesus' name we receive this. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you.